the cab unobtainable, and there was, of course, the inevitable jam on the elevated, with the trains many minutes behind the schedule. I was some half-hour late, in consequence, and when I entered the inner office, I was surprised to find Mr. Graham, our senior, already at his desk. He nodded good morning, a little curtly. "I wish you'd look over these papers in the Hurd case, Lester," he said, and pushed them toward me. I took them and sat down, and just then the outer door slammed with a violence extremely unusual. I had never seen Mr. Royce, our junior, so deeply shaken, so visibly distracted, as he was when he burst in upon us a moment later, a newspaper in his hand. Mr. Graham, startled by the noise of his entrance, wheeled around from his desk and stared at him in astonishment. "Why, upon my word, John," he began, "you look all done up. What's the matter?"
"Matter enough, sir,"
and Mr. Roy spread out the paper on the desk before him. "You haven't seen the morning papers, of course. Well, look at that," and he indicated with a trembling finger the article which occupied the first column of the first page, "The Place of Honor." I saw our senior's face change as he read the headlines, and he seemed positively horror-stricken as he ran rapidly through the story which followed.
"Why, this is the most remarkable thing I ever read!"
he burst out at last.
"Remarkable!" cried the other. "Why, it's a damnable outrage, sir! The idea that a gentle, cultured girl like Frances Holliday would deliberately murder her own father, strike him down in cold blood, is too monstrous, too absolutely preposterous, to
and he stopped, fairly choked by his emotion. The words brought me upright in my chair. Frances Holliday accused of, well, no wonder our junior was upset. But Mr. Graham was reading through the article again more carefully, and while he nodded sympathetically to show that he fully assented to the other's words, a straight, deep line of perplexity, which I had come to recognize, formed between his eyebrows.
"Plainly," he said at last, "the whole case hinges on the evidence of this man Rogers, Holliday's confidential clerk, and from what I know of Rogers, I should say that he'd be the last man in the world to make a willful misstatement. He says that Miss Holliday entered her father's office late yesterday afternoon, stayed there 10 minutes, and then came out hurriedly. A few minutes later, Rogers went into the office and found his employer dead. That's the whole case, but it'll be a hard one to break."
"Well, it must be broken," retorted the other, pulling himself together with a supreme effort. "Of course, I'll take the case."
"Of course.
Miss Holliday probably sent for me last night, but I was out at Babylon, you know, looking up that witness in the Hurd affair. He'll be all right, and his evidence will give us the case. Our answer in the Brown injunction can wait till tomorrow. That's all, I think."
The chief nodded.
"Yes. I see the inquest is to begin at 10 o'clock. You haven't much time."
"No, I'd like to have a good man with me,"
and he glanced in my direction.
"Can you spare me Lester?"
My heart gave a jump. It was just the question I was hoping he would ask.
"Why, yes, of course," answered the chief readily.
"In a case like this, certainly. Let me hear from you in the course of the day."
Mr. Royce nodded as he started for the door.
"I will. We'll find some flaw in that fellow's story, depend upon it. Come on, Lester."
I snatched up pen and paper and followed him to the elevator. In a moment we were in the street. There were cabs in plenty now, disgorging their loads and starting back uptown again. We hailed one, and in a moment were rattling along toward our destination with such speed as the storm permitted. There were many questions surging through my brain, to which I should have welcomed an answer. The storm had cut off my paper that morning, and I regretted now that I had not made a more determined effort to get another. A glance at my companion showed me the folly of attempting to secure any information from his, so I contented myself with reviewing what I already knew of the history of the principals. I knew Hiram W. Holliday, the murdered man, quite well, not only as every New Yorker knew that multimillionaire.